Amen. Last Sunday, we talked about the family and our relationship to each other, and communion is one of those things that connects us as the family of God, and it is always so special to have communion with you today. Normal announcements, Bible studies, information is out on the table, offering receptacles if you brought an offering. Thank you so much for your continued financial support, those who give on tithely and those who mail their checks in or drop them off at the office. We appreciate it so very much. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3. We're going to conclude today on this little mini-series that I've done. And if you've been with us through these last few weeks, you kind of know this, but if you haven't, I'll just review real quickly. The book of Ephesians, incredible book. That was written by the Apostle Paul. And it breaks down pretty naturally in three different sections. The first three chapters deals with our relationship to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I've kind of done this backwards on purpose. And so we'll talk about our relationship to God. Chapters 4 and 5 and the first part of chapter 6 deal with our relationship with each other. And that's what we talked about last week with Adam's help, because I actually couldn't see anything. I brought a large print Bible. If this doesn't work, folks, I'm going to have to bring my Bible in on a cart. But anyway, our relationship to one another, and we talked about that, and that filters down to our relationship in our families, our husbands, wives, children, fathers, mothers, etc. And then the last part in chapter 6, starting verse 10, it talks about a relationship we have, not a relationship, that's really not the right word, but it's our connection, our battle with our enemy, having done all to stand. And so a few weeks ago I preached about the armor of God and how we're to keep that on at all times. So that's how it breaks down. I started with the armor of God and worked our way backwards. And so this morning we'll conclude by talking about our relationship to God. But everything starts with that. So though I've done it backwards, we all understand that it starts with a relationship with God. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, it pretty well eliminates everything else. I mean, we do our best to try to be have a good relationship with people, etc. But when you have a relationship with God, the Bible becomes your source. It becomes what you live by. And prayerfully, you have a biblical worldview because we have a relationship with God. Now, this doesn't come instantly. When we give our hearts to Christ, we don't instantly have Bible knowledge or those things. But when we have a relationship with God, we give our hearts to Christ, we're encouraged to begin to read our Bibles and to begin to study and to come to church, maybe get involved in a Bible study or have someone mentor us, and we begin to learn about the things of the Scripture, and that relationship then grows and we become stronger Christians, and then it filters down to our relationship with each other. I can have a good relationship with you because I have a good relationship with God the Father. Amen? And then knowing I have a relationship with you helps me to be strong and stand against the adversary that wants to tear down all those relationships and wants to come between us and God. But we put on the whole armor of God and we do battle with him so that that doesn't happen. But it starts with a relationship with God. In the beginning, in Genesis, no doubt many of you have read the Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I've heard it said, I've seen it written, that if you can believe that first verse in the first book, first chapter of the Bible, everything else will come. If you believe, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you struggle with that, you probably struggle with everything else. I believe with all my heart, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? I hope you believe that. Now, I don't understand everything about creation and the solar system and all of that. It's pretty big and vast in my brain. But one of the great proofs of creation is the orderliness of the universe. It runs by order. And I don't think we're here by accident. I believe God put us here for purpose and reason. Amen? So he created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and everything else that he created. And again, there's different viewpoints of how long that took, whether it was literal days or just figurative days or whatever. You know, and we can live with that. But the crown of his creation was Adam and Eve. And he created them. And he created them to have fellowship with God. And God gave them a very wonderful gift, Adam and Eve. He gave them a wonderful gift. But it was also a dangerous gift. He gave them the choice, the free gift of choice, of free will. Free will. Someone said to me once, I got ready, we'd pass the offering bags and for the offering, and we may go back to that someday, but COVID changed a lot of things. And but anyway, I remember one day, I saw this term somewhere, free will offering. And so I said, we're going to take a free will offering today. So we took it, and someone said to me afterwards, they said, how can this be free will if that bag's right in front of me? And I'm digging around for, anyway. But God gave us free will. He gave Adam and Eve free will. And they, in that free will, they chose to disobey God, right? They chose to disobey God. And there was a price to pay for that. An innocent animal died because they disobeyed God. Because they had no clothing. And they were not ashamed of that until they disobeyed God. And then they tried to cover up with the fig leaves. But that was a poor substitute. So the Bible says that God covered them with skins. He took an innocent animal and killed it and skinned it so they could have a garment to wear to cover their decision. That's what God did when he sent his son Jesus to cover our sins. He sent an innocent man to the cross. Actually, the innocent man, Jesus, God-man, of his own volition, that means he willingly went to the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. Amen? So in the very beginning, we see a picture of communion, and then we see the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And then the book of Revelation talks about those that go to heaven being in white robes. And I don't know if that's literal or figurative or whatever. I'm not sure I'm really into white. Thank you, Jason, very much. I'm not sure if I'm into white. I don't think white looks good on me. I don't even wear white underwear anymore. You didn't need to know that. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm getting the signal. I'm getting the signal. And now everyone is saying, what color does he wear? Anyway, I'm not sure I'd look good in white, but the white in the book of Revelation represents the purity of the saints, the holiness of the saints, which can only be had through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because our sins, our lives were black, but now they're white because his blood washes us. Do you see where I'm going with that? Amen? And so it's some of you are going, well, that's pretty basic. But the children are in with us today and the young people. And so I wanted to explain that in a little bit clearer language. That we have a choice to make. And that's a gift from God. But it is a dangerous gift because people can choose to not have a relationship with God. And Josh said it, we live in a confused world. We do. And a lot of that confusion is because people don't have a relationship with God. And some people refuse. They just don't want to have anything to do with God. And that's their choice. And God will never force himself on anyone. But God will always make the opportunity if someone changes their mind, right? And they want to give their hearts to Jesus. And so if you're watching online today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and maybe you've not wanted to have a relationship with God all these years, but maybe you're sitting at home today and you're watching this video and you feel like now's the time. I need to choose to have a relationship with God. And you may be watching this 6 months from now, but you're watching it and you say in your heart, I need God. I need a relationship with God. Then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. This is for those that are watching this video. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I have chosen with my free will not to have a relationship with God. But I want to change that right now. So with my free will, I ask you to come and forgive me of my sins. Wash my sins away by your precious blood so that I know if I die today, I'll be in heaven. I won't perish, but I'll be in heaven. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I give my heart to Jesus today. And I thank you for it, Jesus. I'm a new creation. I'm now a child of God, washed in the blood, and ready to meet God. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And with faith, would you applaud with me those that are going to see that and maybe accept the Lord as their Savior. Amen. And God bless you. So it's a choice. Will we choose to have a relationship with God or will we not? But for those who choose to have a relationship with God, I want you to see something. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, I want to point out some words to you. And Jim's going to do his best to follow us on the screen. But if you have a Bible or an iPad or an iPhone that has a Bible app, it's best to use that if you can, because we're going to just be going through a lot of stuff here. All right. So Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he writes these words in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see seven things that Paul says we have in God, because God chose to give it. First of all, in verse 3, he says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Can you say blessed us? Amen. In verse 4, it says he has chose us. Can you say that? He chose us. In verse 5, it says he has predestined us. Can you say that? Predestined us to adoption by sons. In verse 6, it says he has accepted us. Would you say that? He's accepted us. All right. In verse 7, it says we have redemption. He has redeemed us. Will you say that? He has redeemed us through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's what that means. In verse 9, he says he has, concerning the mystery of his will, he has made it known to us. Will you say that? He has made it known to us. And then in verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. Will you say, we have an inheritance with me? We have an inheritance. Those are seven things we have or have been provided for us by God. He's laid it all out for us. All we need to do is accept it. Let me reiterate those again real quickly. He has blessed us. He's chosen us. He has predestined us. He has accepted us. He has redeemed us. He has been made known to us, and he has given us an inheritance. Praise God. That's a mouthful, amen? That's great. Look at all that God has done for us. I mean, just look at those seven things, and let's just pick one out. Chosen. He's chosen us. Does that mean you? Yes. Does it mean me? Yes. He's chosen us. Remember in grade school, do they still do this in grade school? I don't know. Do they still play outside in the fields, and do they play games and things? Well, we did the same thing. I don't know if kids do it today, but they played games where they chose teams. And so you're standing there, and these they pick two captains, and they're choosing. And if you're not well-known or not famous or whatever, you might be last to be chosen. And I remember one time I was in a new school, because I went to a different school every year. Sometimes in a year, I'd go to three different schools. And I never went to the same school more than one year till I got to Coos Bay, Oregon, and I went to Marshfield High School, sophomore, junior, and senior year. But before that, I went to a different school every year, and sometimes two or three schools, because we moved so much. All right, so I was usually always the new kid. And I remember one time, Calusa, California, all right? Jim knows. And I'm out in the yard, and they're choosing teams, and I'm the new kid. And they pick two captains, and I'll take him, I'll take her, I'll take him, I'll take her, I'll take him. And I stood there, and I went, oh, I know what's coming. And finally, they got, I was the last one to be chosen. And so this I think it was a girl, might have been a boy, I can't remember, but they said, oh, well, I'll take him. But you know what I thought? Well, I might be last, but still I was chosen. Come on. Amen. How many know sometimes you might feel last, but still you've been chosen. You've been chosen by God. Amen. He chose to love you. He chose to die for you. If you were the only person in the world that needed a Savior, I'm convinced Jesus would go to the cross just for you. Hallelujah. You have been chosen by God. But my greatest revenge of that day was it was a race thing that they did. And when it came time to go, I beat every stinking kid in that school. I was so fast. And after that, I kept hearing, I'm going to choose him next time first. I'm going to choose him. I'm going to choose. Anyway, that was sweet revenge. I have been chosen. Predestined. Don't let that word bother you. Predestined just simply means that God ahead of time chose you or destined you for something. He has destined us to follow him. We can refuse to and reject that destiny, but boy, don't reject it. Follow the Lord, right? He has redeemed us with the forgiveness. That's what we celebrated today. And he's given us an inheritance. Praise the Lord. How many like the idea of an inheritance? Amen? Yeah, inheritance. He's promised us heaven. Heaven is ours. It's part of our inheritance that he's given us. Now look at verses 13 and 14. And we're covering a lot of ground in a short time. Verse 13 says, in him you also trusted. See, that's the choice we make. We believe and then we trust. We trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, see the connection? We've believed and now we've trusted. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to explain that in a moment. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is who? Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the guarantee? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. We are guaranteed an inheritance, which is our home in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Keep that on the screen for a moment, Jim. Till the redemption of the purchased possession. I want to explain that. Some of you already know this, but if you don't, this is such a beautiful picture. In Bible days, wealthy traders would go to different cities. They'd go to Ephesus, they'd go to Corinth, they'd go to Thessalonica, they'd go to these major cities, and they were on trade routes. Wealthy tradesmen would go to these cities, and they would look in the marketplaces for goods. They would look for things that they wanted, that they knew that they could buy, and then they could pick them up later. They could take them back to where they lived, and they could sell them for a profit. And so they would go to a city, and they would find goods, whatever it might be. It might be material. One of the big things in that day was dyed goods. That's why I believe it was Lydia in the book of Acts that dyed things colors, and they were very expensive. So a trader would go, a tradesman would go to a city. He would find a bale, let's say, of this cloth that he knew he could sell somewhere else. And so he would take it, and he would make the agreement, I'll buy this for so much, okay, it's yours. And he would say, okay, now I'll pay you a certain amount of money to protect this and keep this till I come and get it. And he would seal it. He would put a wax seal on it, and that he would have some kind of particular stamp or whatever it was that would go into the hot wax, and it would leave his mark. And that proved he had bought it. And then when he came back later to redeem it, he would prove that by saying, it's got my mark. It belongs to me. So what Paul is saying is that you that have had a relationship with God, you that have accepted the Lord, you have been sealed. You've got my mark on you. The Holy Spirit is proof. You belong to me. And I'm coming back to get you. No one else can have you. You belong to me. And when I do come back, you're going to have the mark. The mark is my name. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to take you and take you to heaven. How many are glad you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise today? Amen. Nobody else can have you. Nobody else. And we have that promise because of the relationship that we have with God. So all of us have a mark. We hear a lot about the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast, mark of the beast. And that's part of, you know, part of end times things. But I want to concentrate on the mark of the Christian. Come on. The mark of the Christian is the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So God did all of this for us. And that's really what chapter 1 shows us. We've been blessed, chosen, predestined, accepted, redeemed, made known to us. And Jesus has been known, the mystery has been made known to us, and God has an inheritance for us. And so again, all we need to do is, back to verse 13, is believe and trust and then obey. It was so cute. The other day, Connor, my grandson Connor, is he five, Serena? When did he grow up? He's six. And I forget whether he's in the house or in the car. Anyway, it was him and I, always in my truck. And we were waiting at the school. And I hear him start singing, "Trust and obey for the..." And I hadn't heard that for a long time, so I started singing with him. And I'm sure he was shocked that Grandpa knew that song. I didn't have the heart to tell him. We were singing that years ago, right? Trust and obey, for there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And then there's a verse, if we walk with the Lord in the light. Anyway, he's singing that. And I'm thinking, wow, they're bringing that back? Serena, yeah. Introduce that to us. Trust and obey. And I was so excited that my six-year-old grandson was learning that in school. Praise God. Amen? Learning that. Because that's really the key, is we have to believe that Jesus died for us. Then we trust in what he's done for us. And then we just need to obey what he tells us to do. Pretty simple. Not always easy, but it's pretty simple. Chapter 2. Verse 1. This will get a little negative, but hang on. Now, of course, when this book was originally written, it was a letter, so there was no division of chapters and verses, but they're there for our help. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now he's going to explain the problem with relationship with God. The problem with a relationship with God is that before you have a relationship with God, we are dead. We are dead, not physically dead, but spiritually dead. And we're dead because of trespasses and sense. Two of the people that shared about communion today, and I didn't pre-pick them, I thought it was interesting, that two of those people both said about their past, things they're not proud of. All of us have a past. All of us have a past. And for a lot of us, it's not very pretty. Now, for some of us, it's probably pretty innocent, but we're all dead. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. We were responsible for our sins. When we come to a knowledge when we come to a recognition that we are sinners, that's when we have an opportunity to have that sin forgiven. We call that the age of accountability. And I believe that's different with every child. I really do. I used to hear it was 12 years old. Well, I could never accept that because I was younger than that when I came to that knowledge that I was a sinner and gave my heart to Jesus. And I think some kids, it's maybe not 12 or maybe it's older. I don't know. But when you come to the realization that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, that's when you need to give your heart to Jesus. Amen? And for some of you, you were like me. You gave your heart to Jesus as a child. And maybe we didn't have a real long list of sins, but there was, if nothing else, there was the sin nature that we're responsible for. Now, some of you didn't accept Christ as your Savior at a young age. You waited till you were adults or older. So your list of sins was, whew, really, really big. I mean, it was like a scroll they would unroll and just keep going. Come on. Amen. 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 But when God looks at your scroll, or he looked at my scroll as a child, it was all the same to him. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So that was our condition. So what do we need from that? We need what verses 4 and 5 says. Look at verse 4 and 5. Amen. Is that Barrett? Yeah, that's amen. In baby language. I have the gift of interpretation. Verse 4 and 5. But God, okay, so he has made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. Look at the three important words in that phrase. Mercy, love, and grace. Go back to verse 4. God, who is rich in what? Mercy, because of his great what? Love. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together by what? Grace, you have been saved. Wow, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not out of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God even gives us the gift of faith so we can believe God. It's amazing. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So all of a sudden, what we're told to have a relationship with God is that we can't work out that deal. We can't make a bargain with God. We can't say, okay, God, I will be a very good person, I will love my neighbor, and I will give lots of money to the church, and I will do this and I'll do that, and then I'll be saved. And God says, no. That doesn't save us. I'm sorry. Those are all good things to do. It's good to love your neighbor. Amen? It's good to give donations to the church. That's how we survive. Amen? It's good to be kind, yes, but that doesn't save us. We are dead in trespasses and sin. All of those things will not save us. The only thing that will save us is the mercy, love, and grace of God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve him to go to the cross, but he chose us, and he chose willingly to go to the cross, and he said, I'm going to give you salvation as a free gift. How many like free things? Free things. How many's ever accepted a free thing and it cost you some money? I remember years ago, Cheryl and I got this thing in the mail. It's when we lived here. And it said, free sleeping bags. You have free sleeping bags. I think three of them or two of them. All you got to do is come to some place up north, Tenino or something, and view this park or something. So I said to Cheryl, hey, free, let's go. So we took a trip up there. And it was this big development. And we had to listen to this half an hour speech. Come on, who's tracking with me? Anyone here ever been to Hawaii? And someone says, hey, you look like a good couple. Come and listen to this hour. Come on, anybody here? Come on, you're looking at me like, oh, no. Come on, I'm making an admission here. So we went, and we sat, and we listened, and realized it was going to cost us thousands of dollars. And so when it was over, the presenter said, okay, all you got to do to have this, and maybe, you know why I'm feeling real awkward, because I get the feeling some of you went and you signed up for it. Yeah. Well, long story short is, when they asked our income, the guy laughed. He laughed. I'm not kidding, right, sweetheart? He laughed. He grabbed two sleeping bags and says, here, we'll see you later. We didn't even qualify. But free could have cost us something. If you accepted that gift and you have land there now, I apologize. But free doesn't always be free. But when it comes to salvation, free is free. Doesn't cost us anything. We have a relationship with God. Let me read verse 8 and 9 again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am so grateful God didn't charge me to get saved. None of us have enough money to pay for salvation. None of us can do enough good works. But now after you give your heart to Jesus, then God says, yes, I want you to do some good works. I want you to give. I want you to love your neighbor. But you can't do that in yourself. I'll give you the strength to do that. All right? But salvation is free. And now, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, let me read it. Now that we have a relationship with God, we have... What time is... Oh, my goodness. Time's gotten away. Let me skip down to verse 19. Once we have a relationship with God, it says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So now that we have a relationship with God, we are members of the family of God. And then that goes to chapter 4 and 5, relationship with one another. All right, let's quickly go to chapter 3, and then we're going to conclude the service. Chapter 3 deals with an interesting subject. In verse 3, it talks about the mystery. Verse 4 talks about the mystery. Verse 9 talks about the mystery. Okay, so what is the mystery? A mystery is something that's unknown, but when it's revealed, it's no longer a mystery. Right? How many know that what is that game called where you choose a person, a weapon, a room, and what is it? Clue. I don't like that game, personally. I think I played it once, and anyway, I don't want to go there, but anyway, clue. And so it's a mystery, right? It's like the answer's on a card or something. And so you get through this and you figure it out and, you know, was it this, was it that, was it that? You turn it over and there's the answer. So it's not a mystery anymore. When Paul talks about the mystery, all through the Old Testament, that's what it refers to. The mystery was coming, the mystery. And in the Old Testament, it was all Jews. But the mystery that people didn't understand until the New Testament comes is that God at some point was going to let the Gentiles in. That was the answer, that was the mystery. And he gave hints of it, like clue. He gave hints of it, like, remember when Ruth was a Moabitess? She was not a Jew, but she became one, all right? It was Ruth. And then there was some other people in the Bible that they weren't Jews, but they were brought in. There were hints, there were clues. But when Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he sent out Paul the Apostle and said, God said, now the Gentiles can come in. Non-Jews can have a relationship with God. Up to then, it was only the Jews, but the mystery's been revealed. The mystery was God kept that secret, but the New Testament says now anybody can be saved. Doesn't matter how bad they've been. Doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter what color of their skin or ethnicity or any of that. Anybody can accept Jesus. The mystery has been revealed. And that's why in the book of Revelation, one exciting part is that in heaven there's going to be people from every nation, tongue, tribe, everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because God has opened it up to everybody. How many of you are glad that he opened it up for us Gentiles? Amen. Now, some of you may be Jewish here, but most of us are Gentiles, and without that mystery being revealed, we'd still be lost. But thank God we are found now. Amen. The mystery. All right. And then let me just read another verse. Worship team, come. I want to sing How Great is Our God before we leave. In verses 9 through 11, it talks about the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. The mystery is now we that are saved, we that are born again, that have a relationship with God, we have fellowship with one another. We are part of a family. I wish we had time, we don't, but I wish we had time that every one of you could tell your story. That'd take a long time. It would be amazing. Some of us would be flabbergasted to hear your story. Where you came from, what God saved you out of, your background. It would be so interesting to hear everyone's story, because every one of us have a story. Amen? And if we could hear all those stories and then say, but all of us are under the blood of Jesus and we are saved and we are related, it would be amazing. Because there may be a time before we got saved, we might have hated each other. But now that we're related, we love each other. How many know that's a miracle? Come on. That's a miracle. We had someone come into the church. They've moved away now, but I thought it was so cute when they came into the church, they gave their heart to Jesus, and they said to me, not in confession, we don't do that, but they said, Pastor, you won't believe, I hate you. They said, let me rephrase that, I hated you. And I'm thinking, what did I do to you? They said, yeah, every time I drove by the church, I hated you. I didn't know you, but I hated the church. I hated God. And I figured if you were the pastor, I hated you too. But they said, now I love you. Was it anything I did? Come on. It was everything God did. Amen? Now we're related. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And I want to read you something. And then we're going to sing How Great is Our God. Because that's the only reason all of this can happen, is because of the greatness of our God. Let me read to you the last few verses of chapter 3. And then this little series is over. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. Let's sing of the greatness of our God before we leave today. Amen.